Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
You know, I was just thinking about how to open the show today, and I was thinking that for many people, you know, on an inauguration weekend, that is the center of the news, obviously, a new president is now in office, even though he has been president before. That would normally be the focus of our country, except you had TikTok over the weekend also, so I'm not sure which one got more focus.
You know what? I'm gonna call it a split. You know, from my algorithm and what I was seeing on social media, TikTok very much came out ahead, and then the inauguration meme started following.
Yeah. My algorithm was TikTok all the way through.
Me too.
I think it just kind of depends on the day. Like yesterday, I saw a lot of like MLK posts, a lot of inauguration posts. But that Saturday night when we were all wondering when TikTok was going to get shut down, you couldn't get on Reels or TikTok without someone like saying their goodbyes to their For You page. I mean,
so here's the congressman. Some 19-year-old was so upset over the weekend about TikTok that he went to go set the congressman's office on fire. Just because
we had a call TikTok early this morning. Apparently, last night around 1 o'clock, some 19-year-old from Menasha came down and decided to try to set our office on fire. They didn't get in the office, but nevertheless, there was a lot of smoke in the office, which is obviously going to result in a lot of damage. A lot of the siding, an air conditioner, look like they're quite damaged. But I suppose in today's world, you know, things just keep getting worse. And rather than just call my office and saying, let's open up TikTok, he decided to try to burn it down.
That's extreme.
A little bit.
That's extreme. There were a lot of 911 calls. Also.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. There were a lot of people upset about. Yeah, they were very upset that TikTok had been taken down.
I saw online funerals.
Online funerals were a lot. Yeah,
that was the thing. By the time you started to see all of the goodbye TikTok videos, TikTok was back.
It's just a bizarre weekend, man.
We're going to talk about the conspiracy theory?
Yeah, I think we'll get more into it later on today.
Okay. All right, please, because I feel like if anybody's going to be mad, they need to be mad at TikTok.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. There's a lot of theories out there. All right. This week is a big week for The Burt Show because we are doing our improv show with Dad's Garage on Thursday. Things sold out in like 2 days. We told you guys this is a fundraiser for Burt's Big Adventure. None of us in here are seasoned improv vets, except we do this every single day. But it's very different when you're on stage.
Yeah, we're sitting on our butts with a mic in front of our face. Very different than being on stage and acting things out.
So the drama really might be the drama between Rebecca and Mikey and the stand-up comedy that Rebecca is going to have to do as Mikey's writing the stand-up for her. And she's never done stand-up before, right?
No. Never done stand-up. Definitely not with a speech impediment, too. So that'll be interesting. I was like, should I do a country accent and pretend to be Mikey? But I was like, people aren't going to know if it's my speech impediment or if I have an accent.
And this is all because you lost a game of ping pong.
I very valiantly lost 2 games of ping pong where Mikey kind of crushed me. I did feel like I failed all women of America, and I'm sorry for that. But yeah, it was 2 games that he had challenged me to, and that was what was at stake. The improv night opening stand-up.
So have you been writing it? Because that was part of the deal, is that Mikey's going to write it, and then Rebecca will see it beforehand, but she's going to have to deliver his lines.
Yeah, I've been writing it. This has proven to be a lot harder than I thought. And I've realized, like, if Rebecca goes up there and bombs, I'm really bombing too. So, yeah, it's actually proven to be pretty tough.
See, I would take probably the different angle on it, that if I was writing it, I would want her to bomb.
Yeah.
That would be the fun for me.
Or you could just blame her delivery. It's not your writing.
Yeah.
Not my bad. Also, I have questions too. Like, how is there families going to this? Like, how hard can we go?
I think it's a 21 and over type deal. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So
how hard do you plan on going?
So I can make her say some stuff then.
I mean, there might be some Burt's Big Adventure families there, but the kids won't be there. And I know the Burt's Big Adventure staff is going to be there because it benefits BBA.
It's all quote unquote adults.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm gonna get her to say whatever I want. Then.
I'm just I don't want to disclose any of the jokes because I want to save it for Thursday night. But where are you drawing your inspiration?
The clouds. It's not. It's
you haven't even started yet.
It's rough. I've started. 3 minutes is so long when you think about it. Yeah. It's like I don't know. And I think I need to give her more than what she needs. Or maybe just give her like a minute and a half and see what happens.
I'll stretch it out. Yeah.
Can you give him any advice? I mean, this is what you do as a side gig here, is your stand-up comedy. So, yeah. Or maybe we're the side gig. I'm not really sure. So can you give him any advice?
No. Absolutely not.
That's
the whole point of this. I want to see what y'all are able to put together without any advice from me at all. Advice. How can you give advice in this situation? I would say just focus on the punchlines, Mikey.
Okay.
If you make the joke worth it in the end, then the in-between is not as important as you think it is.
Well, I think I might only have punchlines. I don't know if there's any in-betweens anywhere. I think it's just punchlines.
You just got 3 minutes of punchlines?
Yeah, but...
Oh, this is going to be great.
They're non sequitur.
You can Google it. I mean, there are plenty of articles on how to write a joke and how to write a perfect set, so...
Or maybe ChatGPT can do it for you.
But, like, how do you write a bad joke that makes me look good and makes Rebecca look bad? That's the line I'm toting.
So I did have to do 15 minutes of stand-up comedy once for a charity event. This was a few years back. And I thought they were going to write it and I was going to deliver it. And that was not the case. So I had a lot of help from my husband and other friends. But the one thing I noticed was it's any snarky observation you make around the world around you. Like mine was all snark. It was very blue. That can become content for, and this is from a non-professional comedian, okay? So I've professional comedy, probably a lot different, but for the sake of 3 minutes, if you're driving, like I made jokes about hitting bikes that get into the car lane. Like it's just look around you, find the things you snark about and try and make that into a joke or roast Rebecca's parents, who I'm pretty sure are going to be in the audience. Okay.
Yeah. Wait, Rebecca's parents are going to be there?
They will be.
Oh, you got to make a joke about that.
I wish I didn't even know that. Now I feel bad about some of the stuff I've written, but I'm not erasing it.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
TikTok sounded a little different from the hours of 10:30 p.m. Eastern on Saturday to 1 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. TikTok shut down for literally like 14 hours and the world imploded. All I can remember on Saturday night was just coming to the realization that like, oh, they actually banned this thing. They actually shut it down. Influencers were saying their goodbyes. Influencers were crying. Influencers were blowing up their career. I don't know if y'all saw this trend where people were doing this trend where they were using the sound, since we're all going to die, there's one last thing I want to share with you. And then they would share something they lied about during their influencing career on TikTok. I saw fitness influencers confessing that they had BBLs. I saw fitness influencers confessing that they never really did the workouts. I saw, like, you know, people confessing about their deepest, darkest breakups that they I mean, there was so much that they lied about. And then TikTok came back and they were like, what?
Just kidding.
Just kidding. It was, if you think about it, like social media never goes away. Like even if TikTok goes away, if you still have followers on Reels, you now have that information out for everyone to see. And we all had to react to it in real time and go, so now we just can't trust you.
Yeah, you just killed your career.
So I'm just curious, is anybody mad at TikTok or is everybody still targeting their anger towards the government?
I think we're just so grateful to have it back. That no one is thinking about anything. We're not ready to blame or take our pitchforks anywhere. We're just thrilled to have the For You page back.
Yeah, I haven't really had focused my anger on TikTok, although I do think that there was some negotiating going on behind the scenes for the timing of it, for sure.
Oh, I feel people got duped.
Yeah.
I feel people got duped big time. And I feel I think Cassie had come on earlier saying what was going to happen when the ban went into place and what everybody's access to TikTok was going to be. And that was not the case. That notification was popping up instead. And that's not how the ban was going to impact the app. So seeing that notification pop up, name dropping somebody, and then everybody reposting that, it felt very much like collusion.
When you're saying name dropping, you're talking about the thing that came up that said basically, hey, thank God Trump is working on this with us.
Yeah, I mean, that's not what it said, but yeah.
Paraphrasing,
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah,
it's very, I mean, credit where credit is due, but it is very rare. It really doesn't happen for a company to name a politician. They name, like, a law or a legal precedent that changed. So to thank him twice, like, with the shutdown and then the reopening and then all the rumors spreading that the algorithm isn't quite the same, which I myself have experienced. Some people think TikTok did a software update during the time.
Oh, is that right? Mm-hmm. Really?
Because you're not seeing any news anymore.
I did hear one political analyst this weekend, and I thought it was such a great analogy, called Donald Trump a political gymnast, because he was the one that started the whole thing, and then he comes in at the very end and saves the day, and everybody forgets that it started on his watch, you know?
Yeah, that's what it felt like. It felt like, so it didn't feel like it was the ban or the shutdown. It felt like TikTok purposely removed itself, did whatever, if there's, I didn't even hear people throwing out ideas that they did a software update, but that would make sense. So I feel like TikTok removed itself and then came back when it was ready. And I just want people to see TikTok for what it is and what it did.
I don't know if it was a software update thing, but I do, and I don't know this as fact at all, but I certainly think that there was probably an arrangement between TikTok and the government mm-hmm. that said something to the effect of, hey, we got you, but this was done like a week ago or so. We got you. We'll negotiate it for the next 90 days. But just, you know what? Don't do anything about it now. Wait until the president is close to inauguration so he looks like a good guy. I do think that that's what happened.
Yeah, the timing was a little bit suspicious. Yeah. But speaking of Americans being Americans on TikTok, I guess while we were gone, they were talking some mess about us, because all of the people that don't live in America who still had TikTok for those 12 hours, I guess, were like, we can finally talk about geography and eat our beans on toast and peas. And everyone just kept saying how quiet it was. And then around 2 p.m., the algorithm started sounding a little bit like this. TikTok finally had all the Americans to come back. But the algorithm has been a little bit different. I have noticed that there's not a lot of news. And a lot of Luigi stuff has been gone, too. I haven't really seen any talks about that one guy.
Yeah, and I don't even look at this as being duped. I look at this as politics. This, you're seeing it play out, politics, right in front of you. So I'm not even blaming.
Like, the essence of politics is duping people?
That's what it is.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is shocking to me. This is just part of politics.
No. It's not shocking to me either. I just want people to see it for what it is. And I think a lot of people are not seeing it for what it is.
All right. Bachelor Nation is scratching their heads, trying to figure out why one of the most successful couples broke up while they were abroad together. I'll tell you what clues the ex-girlfriend is dropping on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Preschool. Which, when you think of the word itself, preschool, it's not even school yet. How do you get expelled? It's preschool.
Well, thankfully my son did it because my husband intervened. But yeah, I very likely could have gotten my child expelled from preschool had my husband not swooped in and saved the day.
Are there any rules even in preschool?
I mean, there's... I don't know.
Show up, take a crayon, go home.
It would make him popular, though.
Right?
Yeah, he'd be the man.
All right. What happened was, every Sunday, I lay out all of Jimmy's clothes for school, right? I, even though you can't tell by looking at me, know a little bit more about fashion than my husband does. Some of the outfits he puts together are questionable at best. So I will lay out all of Jimmy's clothes. I make sure he has something cozy for Mondays because he has shining hearts where he does yoga and meditation. I make sure whatever he wears on Thursday, he can get paint on because he has art class. Like, this is like mental load stuff, right? So I got them all laid out. And so all of his clothes are laid out and I'm like, oh, he's going to be looking cute. He's going to be looking fly. It's still about the drip, even when you're in preschool. Okay. So I go to pick Jimmy up from school because my husband takes him because of my hours. And I fortunately can pick him up afterwards. And I'm looking at his outfit and I'm like, that is not the outfit that I chose for him. Right?
The drip was not dripping.
No, it wasn't. He was wearing like a camo shirt, but it totally, like, he was like wearing gray sweatpants. I don't know, man. It just, it wasn't giving. So I get him home. And I forgot about it because, you know, mom brain, you're doing other things. And then it's right before we're going to bed and Jimmy's watching his fish and Bart comes in and I'm like, oh, yeah. Hey, by the way, what happened to his AC/DC shirt that he was supposed to wear today? So I had this really cool AC/DC concert sweatshirt that he was going to wear to school. It's actually a hand-me-down from a friend. And Bart looks at me incredulously. He couldn't wear that to school. And I'm like, why not? He goes, it has devil horns on it. Now, mind you, my son goes to a religious preschool. Okay, it's actually at a church. So this is a church that has a preschool. And I don't know how they'd feel about devil horns. But yeah, so on the front of it, you have the band AC/DC. And one of the guys has devil horns. Now, I did not know this. I just saw the AC. I didn't see the devil horns. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. And he goes, Krista. And so now I am arguing with him thinking devil. I mean, it's a classic rock shirt.
Right.
But then he turns it around and he goes, Kristen. It says Highway to Hell on the back of it.
The man has a good point.
I mean, it's just a warning.
Yeah.
And so when he said the Highway to Hell part, I was like, ooh, yeah. That probably wouldn't have been bad.
Yeah, he's got a good point.
All right, fine. I'll be a little more discerning when I'm picking out his clothing.
The Burt Show.
Watching the inauguration yesterday, I found myself listening less to the words and being more of a spectator on everything that was going on in the crowd and the people behind the president. I was like, is that Dana White right behind the president right there? The dude from
the UFC?
Right behind the president.
It was him.
It was him, man. I also noted, I'm sure everybody noticed, Lauren Sanchez.
She became a fascinating meme thanks to Zuck.
Yeah, Zuckerberg definitely noticed.
I am really curious how he's going to talk about that today. I'm sure they're going to say, I was looking down and they just caught me and it looks like I'm looking at her boobs, but I really wasn't.
Uh-huh.
It's so funny because D.C. is such a conservative place, right? And, you know, you're supposed to dress a certain way when you're at an inauguration or a White House.
You mean a white bra isn't what you're supposed to wear to an inauguration?
She looked like an OnlyFans model. what else did I notice there? That his son is so dang tall. You notice
it? Baron?
Baron is 6'7".
Oof. Oh, wow.
Is he really?
I want that dude on my basketball team.
Absolutely.
What else did you guys notice about the inauguration yesterday?
So I missed the beginning of it, and I haven't seen video of it, but I was watching stuff trend as the inauguration played out. And I don't know if this has happened before or not, but apparently all the past presidents got booed when they walked into the rotunda.
I didn't hear that at all.
I didn't hear that.
I did not hear that.
Yeah. So, but again, I didn't see it. I just saw like just a flood of comments that Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, and George Bush all got booed when they walked into the rotunda.
I didn't hear that.
I didn't see it live, so maybe, I don't know if they...
I was watching it live, and I didn't hear that at all.
I was fascinated by Melania's hat. I felt
she was kind of giving Hamburglar.
A lot of people were making that comparison. It was a great hat to hide your facial expressions, you know what I mean? If you wanted to roll out, you know, your eyes a couple of times, which she's gotten busted for before. I did find it, like you said, fascinating to watch the spectators because they moved it inside. Normally when the incoming president is talking, the camera is just on him and you only see him. But this was, everybody is so close that it was very easy to watch everybody's facial expressions as he was making certain commentary.
Of course, there was the stress of Carrie Underwood. You could see what was going on there, right?
Yeah, I mean, she killed it despite having to sing it completely a cappella. And a slightly more wholesome meme that I've seen going around as opposed to like the Zuck one where he's been looking at Lauren Sanchez's chest. But as Carrie Underwood is singing, Joe Biden's right behind her. And I gotta be honest, it kind of looked like he developed a little crush as he was standing behind her. Like, he had googly eyes watching her sing, and...
You think he was thinking, when I was a younger man.
Back in the day.
She wouldn't have a chance.
To be fair, I've seen photos of young Joe Biden, right? And he could have gotten it.
Yeah. He was a stud.
Now he's a corpse, but back in the day, he could have gotten it.
Yeah, you know, as far as the words and stuff goes, you know, I was watching Saturday Night Live this week, or at least the monologue from Dave Chappelle, and I think he had a slightly... optimistic view on it also, like just asking the president, like, everybody is counting on you, man. I mean, from both sides and around the world, just keep in mind that they are just counting on you. And that's really, I think, how I feel also.
I thought it was like the most mature Dave Chappelle I've seen in a long time, because right. I kept thinking a joke was coming, but no, he was serious. It was a good way to close it.
Right. All right, our intern Sadie is going through the same thing a lot have gone through, where you know how your ex will just take off? You haven't heard from him in a while, then all of a sudden they submarine. Here they are again with the most bizarre things. Like, why?
Yeah, it's been like 6 months since we broke up. I haven't talked to him at all. I'm a exes can't be friends kind of gal. Mm-hmm. I'm more of a move on and be done.
Yeah, smart.
And he thinks I've put this curse on him, like this Cassie level bad curse on him. So I'm sitting here the other day after the internship, at, you know, it's 10 a.m. I get a text. So it's the first thing he thinks about when he wakes up. And it reads, please throw away the voodoo doll. Sorry, let me start over. Please throw away the voodoo doll you have of me. I can't take it anymore. I've been T-boned, had to get an MRI, had broken ribs, didn't have my car back for a month. My bathroom's just now almost done being remodeled after it was gutted before Thanksgiving. An untippable ladder tipped while I was on it, 12 feet high at work, and I wrote it down. They had to reduce and set my bones in the ER. Worst pain I've ever felt. Then I had to have a 4-hour surgery on my wrist and physical therapy twice a week for 4 months. Stop it, okay? Do you want to see a picture of my wrist, though? It's gnarly.
So he's literally blaming every bad thing that's happening in his life on you.
On me, yes.
Okay, well, hold on a sec. We got to go back to this. This voodoo doll. So you literally had a voodoo doll made?
I don't.
No.
That's the thing.
He's looking for attention. Oh. That's the attention text.
Because we've had a member on this show before that literally had a voodoo doll made.
Yeah.
So no, he's just saying that this is you.
Yeah, and I'm like, I haven't responded, and that was a couple of weeks ago. I'm like, I'll respond, but what do you even say to that?
After that entire laundry list of everything that's supposedly gone wrong in his life, you should just respond, yikes. Just like a one-word answer. Yeah. Yikes.
So who broke up with who? What was the reason for the breakup?
And how long was it?
This was like 6 months ago. Okay. I've only talked to him to get my belongings from his house because I just had like a few things over there. I broke up with him. It was a long time coming. I honestly don't even know if he listens to the show. I guess we'll find out. But, you know, I broke up with him. It kind of went okay. Like, it wasn't a big deal. It was a big deal in the moment. And then it kind of just tapered off and it was a mutual thing after that. But so out of nowhere.
Yeah. So if it's a mutual thing, like, it's not like he cheated on you or anything like that. Like, you just broke up with him. So bless his heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We see right through this.
Yes, we 100%. See right through this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the old anything to get your attention text.
Uh-huh.
And also feel sorry for me.
Yes, like, yeah, I've been shot 4 times. I'm saving kids out here. Please do something. That's all it is.
And your response again was?
I haven't answered him
you
yet.
You haven't
I will, but
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't answer him.
He's really hoping to open the window again.
At some point. Like, he just wants to get you to say anything.
Yeah, I think once I answer, it's a done deal. I'm never going to be able to shut that door again.
Yeah, and I think that's a smart philosophy also. Like, when you're done with the break, when the relationship's over, the relationship is over, at least for a while.
Yeah, and he talked about, like, I'd love to be friends when the time is right. I just don't think that's a thing. I don't think that's a thing with exes.
Oh, yeah. He doing anything to keep that door open.
Yeah.
You got to get that voodoo doll, cut off his little hand so he can't text you back and call it a day.
Just the fingers. Doesn't have to be the whole hand. Okay.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Here's what I really wanted to do this today, because there is a reoccurring thing that happens in this studio that probably happens in your office all the time also. When somebody is really excited about a TV show, they come on into the office and they start telling you about it, because I don't know if I'm like you guys, but when I'm done with a series, it just takes forever to find another one that I really, really like. And the best way, I think, to find a show is from somebody you know that has a like personality, and if you like it, then maybe we'll like it also, right? So I asked everybody to come in here and pitch a show right now. So if you are listening and you're almost done with the series, or you just got done with it and you don't know where to start, I thought if we all come in here with one or two ideas, by the time we're done here, you guys might have a good goalpost of exactly where to go. So you want to start?
Yeah, sure. So Mo and I both love this series. I have watched it since its inception, and that has been a long ass time. So the Challenge All-Star Rivals.
I can't believe they're still going.
It is still going.
So on MTV?
Yes. Yes. So this is my guilty pleasure. All right. I love me some CT. I love hate me some banana. So the Challenge All-Star Rivals is coming back. We just finished the Challenge season 40, which was fantastic, wow, by the way. Yeah, season 40 ended.
Man. 40. Please tell me they have 3 seasons a year. No,
they do have quite a bit. So yes, it's been longer than, or it's been shorter than 40 years, but they had each era. So, you know, you had like the OGs and then era 2, era 3, era 4. And that one was fantastic. But the Challenge All-Star Rivals, the names you know and love, because it's all-stars. So they're a little bit older, so they're not as spry as they used to be, so the competition isn't as intense as, like, the regular Challenge, because they got that new blood in there.
Okay.
So Nani, Leroy, Devin, Shane, Beth,
uh-huh,
Veronica.
Yeah.
Yeah, they ain't running real fast, but at least they're attempting to jog.
Yeah, the physical feats must be a little harder nowadays.
Well, they kind of like dumb it down from a physical standpoint.
Okay.
They make it a little easier because everybody gets hurt. Every single week, somebody's twisting an ankle and they're having to leave the competition. So Wednesday, January 29th, it's back on MTV. If you got Xfinity, it's on channel 1405. But just go ahead. I'm letting you know, January 29th, it's back, and I will be watching every single week because I am a sucker for this show and TJ Lavin's laugh.
Okay, what do you got, Mo?
All right, so the show that I literally just finished, Bert, I know you hate this phrase, but it's a good show. It's called No Good Deed.
I've seen it. Yeah. I mean, I've just seen it come up on, like, the trending shows. Is it good?
It's pretty good. I just watched it because I needed something to watch. Like you said, I had just finished Lioness, was looking for something new, and it just kind of came on, and I said I'd give it a shot. And it hooked me. It's with Lisa Kudrow, yeah, and Ray Romano.
Right.
And that won't give too much away, but they're selling a home. And they have some prospects that they want to sell the home to. And each prospect is like a different couple that's going through a whole different thing in life. And it's like a good combination of mystery and funny at the same time. It kind of leaves you on the edge of your seat trying to figure out and piece together what exactly is happening while making you laugh. I think it's a good watch for anybody that's looking for some time to kill.
For me, I think the show I'm about to pitch really fits anybody who can handle a little bit of trauma. So if you love a show like Game of Thrones or House of the Dragon and you want to dial it back just a little bit, but you love like the fantasy elements and you love like a little bit of drama, I'm telling you, one of the greatest TV shows I've ever watched is Outlander. It started on Stars. You can now watch it on Netflix. I think all 6 to 7 seasons are on Netflix. I recently rediscovered the show because I was obsessed with it in college. I had my little sexy Scottish men that I used to get to watch on the elliptical every night at Southwest Gym at UF.
And you're going through all these different forests, putting your hands on rocks to see if you're going to get transported somewhere.
I was like, take me
somewhere.
Take me, Sassy Mac. And I will say there are some scenes that are really tough to watch. And because of that reason, I had to kind of put some distance between me and my sexy Scottish man. And I recently picked it back up. But this show literally has everything. I think both men and women would really enjoy this because there's romance in it, but there's action and there's history and there's fantasy. And it's just like a good, wholesome watch without feeling like you're watching the Hallmark Channel. Because like I said, there is a lot of trauma.
Seasons.
They are going to release the 8th season, and that'll be the final season.
That's the thing. There's got to be a sweet spot when it comes to how many seasons also. Like 3-4 max for me. Anything more than that, I can't commit to it when I first started.
Then you'll love this. The Good Place has 4 seasons, and if you haven't seen it, it's on Netflix. It has Kristen Bell and Ted Danson in it, and it follows people who have passed away, and they end up in The Good Place. But there's a twist, and it is hilarious. It's probably one of the best written shows I've ever seen. It is so funny. It's easily, and it will suck you, easily watchable. It's so bingeable. It'll suck you in.
Okay, I've got 2, because one is mine, and one is mine and Amanda's, and I'm usually, I can't watch 2 shows at the same time. I have to complete one before I move on. But Amanda's over at my house only like 25% of the time. So the one, both of these shows are 10 years old. Bloodline? You guys know that?
I don't.
Oh, man, it's about a family in Florida, and there's some mystery going on there, and there's one bad brother, and it's with the dude from Friday Night Lights, which is why I started watching it in the first place, the coach. And it's got a lot of mystery, and you just never know what's going to happen. It's really well written. And the other one is called Goliath with Billy Bob Thornton. He is a lawyer, and he takes on these really big, like, cases where you never think he's going to win. And it's only four seasons long, and each season is getting more and more bizarre, but you can't stop watching. And one is on, Bloodline is Netflix, and I believe Goliath is Amazon Prime Video.
The Burt Show.
Abby, really getting greedy. Not only matching with a dude on Hinge, but also wants to hook up with his brother.
Allegedly. Allegedly. Yeah, a guy I was talking to on Hinge called me out because he felt like I was making a move on his brother over him. And he could not have been more wrong. And it just ended up making me look like the dummy in the situation. So this all took place on the dating app Hinge, which at this point, everyone knows that I'm on very frequently. And if you've never been on Hinge before, Hinge is set up where people can like you and you can like them. So you'll go into your feed and there will be profiles that are shown to you. And you can press the like button on some people's photos, or sometimes they'll have written prompts that you can like or comment on, so you can kind of get the conversation started. And so I'm on Hinge last week and I end up seeing in my liked feed, so somebody's liked me, in my liked feed, a comment from a guy who looks pretty cute, and he's commented on one of my most popular prompts. I can never take this out of my profile because I swear this gets like 90% of the likes for me. And my prompt on Hinge says, let's get, it says, together we could get our parents to stop asking why we're single. And people, men love that because it kind of inflates their ego. They can be like, oh yeah, people also ask why I'm single too. So he's liked that post and he commented on it. And it actually made me like laugh out loud, where I was like, oh my God, this is like really funny. He said, so fun around the holidays, in quotations. Have I met anyone? Yeah, mom, I've met a lot of people. And I was like, haha, that's okay. A good joke. Good joke. Right. Good joke, guy. So then I ended up responding something along the lines of like, I see that Hinge has actually deleted it. So now I was going to read off of it, but now I can't. I said something along the lines of like, oh yeah, then you've got to say something. You've got to like throw them a curveball and say, and start talking about all the men that you've met. You got to like throw them off. And then he ended up saying, well, my brother's gay. So that would be a lot for them to handle, I think, at the holidays to get that news. And I was like, oh, ha, ha. And then I had to ask my resident gay person, Rebecca, if I was allowed to make this joke. Because admittedly, his profile picture has his brother in it. And I knew which one he was in the photo based off of the picture. For context, the man I'm talking to is in the military, and the guy sitting next to him in the photo was wearing a Christina Aguilera t-shirt.
Okay.
And all right. I, as an ally, wanted to make sure that this wasn't a joke that was going to get me canceled or be seen as homophobic. So I sent the screenshot to Rebecca and I said, can I respond to this and say something along the lines of like, oh my God, I'm shocked your brother's gay. And
like sarcastic,
kind of sarcastic,
he's got the shirt on.
Because okay. He's got the shirt on. So I send her the photo and she gives me the green light. I'm like, sick. I'm not going to lose my ally status over this. And I say, let me see if I can find it in my screenshots now that, okay. So I said, the one holding the Pomeranian and wearing the Christina Aguilera shirt? No. And he responded, LOL, yup. And then I decided to have a little snarky comment back. And I said, right on, with the fist and then the little rainbow flag. I'm like, yes, like, it's cool with me that your brother is gay. That's what I'm trying to say here. And so we end up having this really fun conversation. We have a little back and forth banter. And I'm thinking, wow, this is going really well. He gets my humor. Because it's something that's really hard. Things can get lost in translation over Hinge, where you make a joke and you're kind of wondering if somebody's going to get the tone that you mean, which is why I really love to meet people in person as soon as possible, because then you can make those jokes and you don't feel like you have to overthink them. You don't feel like you have to put too much context, because they will see it and read it in your voice. So I'm thinking, all's good here. So our conversation keeps going, and then I say something, I kind of give him a little criticism for something he had said about how people are always asking him about his ex. I was like, oh, yikes, you don't update your friends and family about your big relationship changes? That's a red flag, something along those lines. And he said, no, most of my friends and family know, but like when I go around for the holidays, like, you know, my mom's friends, I have to update them and it's really awkward. And I said, you should probably start a newsletter or something so that you can avoid any awkwardness next year. And he goes, ha ha, that could be really funny. We make a joke about it. And then he gives me two options. He's like, I could do this kind of newsletter or this kind of newsletter. And then I respond, those are both good options. When you send the screenshots out to them, make sure you headline it, in quotations, random internet girl clocks my brother immediately as a friend of Dorothy, in quotations. And he goes, you lost me. And I'm like, what? He goes, what the heck is a friend of Dorothy? And I was like, oh, do you not know what that means? And so I explained to him what it means.
I don't know what it means either.
You don't know what friend of Dorothy means?
Uh-uh.
It means you're gay.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I don't know what the history is, but like that was there's some kind of history where you would call yourself a friend of Dorothy back in the day when.
Is it because Judy Garland played Dorothy in Wizard of Oz and she was a gay icon?
Yeah. It has something to do with like people not wanting to get caught back in the day, like in the 50s when
it
was a code word that people would use. But I thought this was well known. Anyway, so he goes, wait a second, was your second message sarcasm? I genuinely thought it was disappointment. And I said, yes. I was joking. I was clocking. Your brother's wearing a Christina Aguilera t-shirt. Of course I was being sarcastic. So then things got really awkward and uncomfortable after that, and I never recovered.
Just take one line.
Joke.
Opening, grand closing.
I'm not homophobic, I swear.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.